at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. For those of you who have listened to the show on a regular basis, you'll recognize that I have been on his show as a guest before many times, and there have been times in the past where I've hosted the entire show. Dr. Youngblood is out today, so it's a privilege and an honor for me to host his show, Let's Face the Issues, today. And there are several items I would like for us to discuss. If we have time to get to them all, I hope we will. One thing I want to mention at the beginning, first let me back up just a bit. For those of you who are not familiar with me, my name again is Mike Hill. I'm from the Pensacola area. I'm currently a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency. I am a former member of the Florida State House. I served from 2013 through 2020 in District 1 and District 2 of the Florida Panhandle, which covers the Pensacola area, essentially. I've owned this insurance and financial services agency for 36 years now. Before that, I was active duty Air Force for 10 years after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. So Dr. Youngblood and I became friends while I was in the Florida State House. This was back probably in 2015 or so, and we have remained friends ever since. And I enjoy Dr. Youngblood's friendship and also the opportunity to host his radio show. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, some of the issues that we're going to be discussing today is, first of all, the whole idea of the church. Is it our current church? Is it living with a worldview or with a biblical view? And we'll have a guest on, Dr. Eric Wallace, who's going to be discussing that in just a bit. But I also want to give some other topics today after our discussion with Dr. Eric Wallace. We'll talk about, because this is the semi-quincentennial of the 250th year of our Declaration of Independence, an awesome time to be an American, that we can actually celebrate this. So I hope we have time to talk about five truths of the Declaration of Independence. Now, that Declaration of Independence, of course, was a precursor to our Constitution. And our Constitution, which was put together by our founding fathers and our elected officials, take an oath to solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So it is so important that we elect the right people who will defend this Constitution. And sadly, we have many in America who do not adhere to their oath of office, who disregard it, and do not support, protect, and defend the Constitution. So it is so important for us as Christians to make sure that we get involved in the election process. Get involved in politics. You are not to sit on the sideline. We do have instructions from the Lord himself where Jesus said, go into all the world, preaching the gospel and baptizing those who we preach the good news to in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yes, that is our direction from our Lord and Savior. While we are here on earth, we also must participate so that we can get the gospel out, so that we can baptize them all. If we have the wrong government, that cannot take place. As evidence, look at North Korea. Look at China, who is persecuting the church. Look at Cuba. Look at other European nations where Christians are being pushed to the side, and instead they're not being able to fulfill their command from the Lord himself. So we must participate in the election process to make sure that we do have those who are elected to adhere to their oath of office. And there are some things that have to be done to restore our election integrity. So I hope we get a chance to talk about that also today. And also, here's something very interesting. A reporter asked Trump about the war that's going on in Iran right now. That is God on the American side, or is God on the Iran side? I'll tell you Trump's answer, then I'll tell you what I believe the answer is. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the whole idea of this launching of American astronauts around the moon who have gone further than any other human ever has away from the Earth. Now, here's another amazing headline. I hope we get to this. It'll be a little later, though, after we have our guest, Dr. Eric Wallace, which I will introduce here in just a minute. This comes from the Washington Stand. A new analysis shows that the real national debt is $170.3 trillion, or $1.1 million owed by every American. We are often told that the estimate of the nation's total debt is $39 trillion. But what federal officials don't tell Americans is that the actual total debt is $170.3 trillion. or more than 4.5 times the approved Treasury figure. That is utterly unbelievable. We'll discuss that also. And then there's the Trump administration observes Resurrection Sunday with a bold, faith-driven messaging. And that is so heartening to hear and to see that when under the Biden administration, it was the exact opposite. There was the one time they had where the Easter Bunny had to guide Biden around, and there were times when he had transgenders on display on the White House lawn who were half naked. Just terrible what we went through under the Biden administration. So it is so refreshing to see how the Trump administration observed Resurrection Sunday with a bold, faith-driven messaging. And then one other topic I hope we can get to is the Trump administration shifts into the next phase of the deportation strategy. What is that? We'll talk about it in just a bit. But first, let me introduce our guest, Dr. Eric M. Wallace. Dr. Wallace and I met a couple of years ago, and we've become closer and closer friends throughout the time that we have been friends because we share the same biblical worldview, which I really admire about Dr. Eric Wallace. He wrote a book called The Heart of Apostasy, How the Black Church Abandoned Biblical Authority for Political Ideology and How to Reclaim It. So Dr. Wallace is here. He's going to be joining us here on the show. In fact, he is on a show with us now. And he recently wrote an article, which I'm going to ask Dr. Wallace to comment on and to share his thoughts on this article. It is called, What Good is a Worldview If We Are Not Guided by It? Now, if you would like to join the show with a question for Dr. Wallace, a question or comment, you can call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Dr. Wallace, are you on the line with us now?
I am, Mike. Glad to be with you.
Very good. Dr. Wallace, you wrote an interesting article very recently, just a few days ago, titled, What Good is a Worldview If We Are Not Guided by It? Now, there was one particular paragraph, the entire article was great, but there was this one paragraph that jumped out at me that I want to share with our audience. Then I'm going to turn it over to you to share your thoughts on that article. Here's the paragraph I want to share. This is the essence of apostasy, as I describe it, not an outright rejection of the faith, but a gradual departure from biblical authority in favor of cultural conformity. It is a shift that often happens subtly. We begin by softening our language, then by avoiding difficult truths, and eventually by redefining those truths altogether. In time, the worldview we claim to hold no longer governs us, we govern it. Dr. Wallace, thank you for joining the show. Explain to our listeners, if you would please, in more detail, what you meant by that.
Well, one of the things, again, thank you for having me a part of your show this morning. Well, one of the things I talk about, like in the book, The Heart of Apostasy, I use the parable of the sower to look at the various seeds that fall upon the ground. And as you know, because you read the book, we talk about them in terms of the condition of a person's heart. So the detached one that falls on the ground, it doesn't take any it doesn't grow any roots. It doesn't grow at all, actually. The disillusioned heart, it starts to grow, but then when there's trials and tribulation, it kind of wilts. And then there's the number three, which is the distracted heart, which is distracted by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world. And then lastly, the devoted heart, which receives the word and holds fast to it with an honest and good heart and produces fruit. Well, that paragraph basically talks about the third one, the one that's distracted, because it's, again, it kind of hears the word, it starts to grow, but it doesn't bring any fruit to maturity. And so, you know, it's this gradual departure from biblical authority, because they care about whether, you know, the world likes them or not, or whether they're invited to the party, or whether, you know, they'll be kicked out of, you know, like the gentleman who was just released from the Bulls, Chicago Bulls. He expressed, you know, his misgivings about, you know, the LGBTQ community and what the NBA is doing to promote it. And yeah. he stated his opinion, and then was let go. So, you know, we fear that kind of thing, yet the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, the world hated him, they're going to hate us. So when we stand for a biblical worldview, we're going to be countercultural, and we can't expect, you know, that everyone's going to love our point of view.
Exactly. Well said, Dr. Wallace. And you started off your article with this question, and I'm going to ask it to you, and I'm going to ask our audience to think about this question also. What good is a worldview if it does not actually guide how we live? What's the answer to that, Dr. Wallace?
Well, I mean, if it's really our worldview, and of course this time I'm talking to the church, so basically a biblical worldview, if we have a worldview, it's supposed to be that thing that helps helps us see. It's like the glasses we put on, right? We see through our biblical worldview how we understand the world we live in, how we understand our beliefs about God, our view of human nature, understanding truth and knowledge, our moral framework or our ethics, and then purpose of life, and ultimately ultimate hope. I mean, if we have a biblical worldview, the Bible then becomes the basis for how we look at the world, right? And how we understand Scripture will help us understand, you know, that men are human beings, are sinful, that we can't, all our systems, therefore, are going to be flawed. We don't have any perfect systems. There's no perfect anything that man touches and puts together, right? I mean, it may be good, maybe better than some systems, like capitalism. The free market is better than socialism. But capitalism or the free market isn't without its flaws, right?
Right.
The only thing perfect is God himself. And so our systems are flawed, but his system, you know, once he comes and set everything straight, we'll be fine. But our worldview kind of tells us how we look at various things. And if we live by that, at least as Christians, then that should be evident. How we understand Scripture then kind of tells us how we should view stuff like abortion, same-sex marriage, education, a number of different things that sometimes we ignore, and we vote exactly the opposite of what supposedly our worldview, if we're holding a biblical one, would actually say.
Yes. Now, in your book, Dr. Wallace, titled The Heart of Apostasy, I'm speaking, this is Mike Hill on Let's Face the Issues. I'm speaking with Dr. Eric Wallace about an article he recently published. And Dr. Wallace, you also wrote the book, The Heart of Apostasy, which I have read. It is very well written. I would encourage anyone to go out and get the book. You will not be disappointed. It's called The Heart of Apostasy. I believe you can get it through Amazon and other channels. Is that correct, Dr. Wallace?
Yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, Google Books. And I think that's basically it. And you can get a hard copy, soft copy, digital, and we're still working on the audio book. So that should be out hopefully within the next month.
Well, I got the hard copy because I love to read. I'm an avid reader, and I like to get hard copies so my books will last a while and so that I can go back and reread them when I have the desire. The title of the book is called The Heart of Apostasy. Now, in the article you recently wrote, Dr. Wallace, here's another paragraph you put in there, which I agree with completely. Many Christians affirm the authority of Scripture. We say we believe in truth, righteousness, and the lordship of Jesus Christ over every sphere of life. Yet, when cultural pressure mounts, when convictions become costly, when silence is easier than clarity, when compromise appears more loving than obedience, that worldview is often set aside. What remains is not biblical fidelity, but practical accommodation. Expound on that a bit, if you would, Dr. Wallace.
Well, yeah, that's actually, as I was getting ready for to come on, I started thinking that one of the problems with this, we've seen it before. It's this whole idea about empathy that, you know, we start to adjust our feelings because we start thinking, well, this, you know, the biblical prescription sounds too difficult or too hard. You know, who am I to push my faith and my religious beliefs down anybody else's throat, right? We've heard that before, right? And so we start, you know, backing up, and it's almost like Eve who decided, you know, wanted to decide what was good, right? She was told not to eat of the fruit, but she decided, oh, you know, it's good to make one wise. I want to decide what's good. And so we start wanting to, you know, rewrite the text or at least take away some of the sharp edges of the text and try and make it feel more comfortable for us to either disagree or say, well, you know, you have your opinion, I have mine, and, you know, let's go about our separate ways instead of standing for truth and say, you know, this is what the Bible says about this particular issue. I mean, let's just look at the Islamists. They don't have any problem talking about what it is they believe. They don't have any problem, and they're actually ready to come take over because we've been, caught back on our heels as if, you know, the scriptures don't say what they say or don't mean what they say. Let me put it that way.
That's right. Oh, well said, Dr. Wallace. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood with our guest today, Dr. Eric Wallace, who wrote the book, The Heart of Apostasy, and also recently wrote an article that we are discussing now. If you would like to join the discussion or if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Wallace, you can call in at 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Here's another paragraph from the article that you recently wrote, Dr. Wallace. An excellent article, by the way. It says, we affirm the sanctity, this is the church, we affirm the sanctity of life, yet our collective response is often muted. We affirm God's design for the family, yet we hesitate to defend it when it is challenged or redefined. We affirm the authority of Scripture, yet we shrink back when its teachings conflict with prevailing cultural narratives. The result is a church that speaks with uncertainty rather than conviction. Why do you think that is, Dr. Wallace?
Again, because we don't want the conflict. One of the things I mentioned in the book, The Heart of Apostasy, is this book called Steadfast Democrats, which was written by Democrats, and they looked at they did a study to see why or how the Democrat Party was able to hold on to the black vote for so long, since the Democrat Party is more progressive and most black people are conservative. When it comes to family, when it comes to the Second Amendment, when it comes to a number of different issues, you go down the line, and they had enlisted in their book like 10 different things, and they're already like 70% or above where they agreed with conservatives on the issue, and they came out with what they call racialized social constraint, which was their fancy term for peer pressure, that people don't want to be ostracized. People don't want to be canceled. I mean, we were being canceled long before it became popular. So if if you are a black conservative or a black person that happened to vote, either were an independent or to vote Republican, you were ostracized.
Right.
You didn't get invited to the party. You didn't, you know, people would either make fun of you and say you're not really black. I mean, according to Biden, if we didn't vote for him, we weren't black.
That's right. No, and you raised such a great point, Dr. Wallace, where you said that the conservative biblical value is held by the majority of the black community. But if you listen to today's media, you would not know that, because those black conservatives are not placed front and forward on the media. If you go to the legacy media now, CNN, ABC, CBS, MSN Now, all the blacks that they have on there do not profess conservative cultural values. They do not seem to profess conservative biblical values. Instead, it's all the leftist, the Democrat ideology that we hear them saying. So that gives the impression that that is what the black community is like. But as you said, that is not actual. That's not factual. The majority of the black community is conservative.
Absolutely. And if they understood, fully understood what a biblical worldview is, they'd understand it's fully grounded in Scripture, which says that God is the creator and the sovereign over all, that truth is objective and revealed through his word, that humanity is created in God's image but fallen in sin, and salvation and restoration are through Jesus Christ and him alone. Life's purpose, and this is the last one, is to glorify God and to live according to his will. Now, if you put the fact that you believe that in white supremacy and somehow white people are overlords over black people, you don't have a biblical worldview, because that's cross purposes with what God's word actually says. God is supreme.
That's right. Dr. Wallace, we don't have too much time left, but I want you to discuss this. It's called the RISE principle, the RISE principles: responsible government, individual liberty and fidelity, strong family values, and economic empowerment. Quickly, we have just under 2 minutes. Talk about that, the RISE, RISE principles.
Well, we wanted to find a way which to talk about how do we live out this biblical worldview, right? And how do we, especially when it comes to politics or dealing with culture, right? So it's the RISE principles, like you mentioned, responsible government. It tells us about, you know, God established government. So what does God want to see in our government? God established laws. So we should be involved in the political process. Individual liberty and fidelity, meaning God wants us to have liberty, liberty to be able to serve him. We talk about our free will. So our free will to be able to serve him. But to actually have fidelity is a call to being faithful to God's truth, to what he has established. S is for strong family values, which brings us back to, you know, God's design for the family, which is the first institution, right, for human flourishing. God established the family, one man, one woman, and that once you get married, you didn't have children, and then E for economic empowerment, the dignity
good.
Of
Dr.
work
Wallace,
and stewardship.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're coming against a hard break here at the top of the hour. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Please continue listening. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.